The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to March 2006.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in a most unrehearsed session of question and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today the gang's all here. It's like a family reunion. Yeah.
Family affair.
Well, you know, depending on what family, we'll find out by the end of the show. There we go. The Addams family.
The Addams, yes.
So let me introduce the panel to you. To my left, from philosophy, it's Chair and the Queen of Ethics Bowl herself. It's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Yesterday I showed The Public Enemy, the Jimmy Cagney film, because I've picked up this class on history and film, and one of the students wanted to know why there was so much spitting in Jimmy Cagney movies. I was hoping for some other comments, but, you know, it at least started the discussion. So
I still like the question of how many black and white films do we have?
Many,
I told Drew that one. He thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, they're having a hard time just watching black and white. They asked the question, how many more black and white films are you going to show? I said, well, you know,
it's like they're so lucky they didn't have Professor Kurtzinger.
I know.
What about Clerks? You know, I mean, there have been recent
good
movies.
Good Night and
that
Good Luck.
Yeah, come on.
You know,
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
I mean, Frankenstein.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So, yeah, that was a little scary.
Frankenstein.
Sitting next to Beth from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, our CSI man here in Detroit, it's Professor Matt Mayo.
I've never shown a Cagney movie in any of my classes.
Really?
No, it's
White
just,
Heat?
Not,
you should, because there's that huge chemical storage place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at the end of the film. That's, you know, top of the world, Ma.
Public Enemy?
And no, White Heat.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay,
one of Cagney's later films, and it does take place at a chemical factory and storage facility.
What do you know?
And the police are afraid to fire because they're afraid a spark might ignite those chemical storage containers.
Who knows?
You now can show Cagney.
At least your wages of fear for
me. Yeah, I was going to say, there's another great one. And Virginia Mayo's in it, and she just looks so tardy in that film. So you might want to warn your young female students about the problems of excess makeup. Excess Maybellining, okay?
Oh,
I think that there's a lot of chemical. Chemistry and film.
Yeah,
I think it's a possibility.
There you go.
You could show the Jack Nicholson Batman for a chemistry class there.
Oh, there you go. Gosh. There's a ton of them. Speaking of film, at the far end of the table, joining us after his Super Bowl efforts, the man who worked the Super Bowl up and down and all around, it's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger.
As I said to many of my colleagues, I said, these people from the NFL, they only get out of the studio once a year, and they make Comcast Local sometimes look like NBC.
But I
survived. I was at the I did the NFC stuff at the Hyatt Regency,
okay.
And I was so sick of the Jeremy Stevens thing. I played it back 8 million times. I had it memorized.
Okay.
But we're all happy the Super Bowl's gone. We can now get back downtown and stuff.
Thank you.
Find a place to park.
That's a good thing.
But I must say our students today, they've got this Film Society thing reformed for the fall. They came in asking for Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant and some other weird films.
Great film.
And they're going to start showing. They said, we have to get the Fassbinder for the kids who haven't seen it. I go, they'll love that one.
I think
I guess maybe I have a small bit of a shot glass worth of influence.
And that's okay, Jerry. We're glad to hear it.
Better shots than other shots,
indeed. Okay. Now, around the table, sitting next to Jerry and to my right, from the College of Engineering and Science, ahead of its pre-professional programs, it's Dan, the Depths Up Unite Steps man.
Hi, Kathy.
How's it going, Dan?
It's so hot here, we'll be nude by the time.
I know,
it
is really warm in
it's
here
toasty.
Today.
Sexual harassment going all over the place.
I'm not sexually harassing anybody.
Not at all. Dan's just commenting about the weather.
If you're offended by nudity, then go somewhere else.
It creates a hostile.
It's all art. Come on.
Here we go. And last but certainly not least, from the Department of Math and Math Education, now certainly on the curling circuit, it's Professor Jeff Bowes.
We're going to end up on the satellite if we have nude shows.
I was going to say, thank the Lord, that's not even a possibility.
I have a body for radio anyway.
That's
the looks for radio.
Oh, man.
You have a body only for radio.
Stop. Let's see it on radio. Well, this is the show where you can send us questions on nudity. You can also send us questions on sexual harassment. You can send us questions on law cases, on film, on sports, on chemicals or chemistry, whatever you wish. And if you stump the panel or don't stump the panel, you will win the new edition, the 2006 Ethics Bowl shirt, freshly minted from last week.
When Ferners won the ethics
poll.
That's
right. They're taking our
students,
competition.
They told me they were business. The girls told me
they
were business students, weren't they? That's what they told me.
No.
The Canadian connection.
The
I don't
Canadian?
Know.
Stephanie Hill.
Yeah.
And, no, Peter Verschuti is one of ours. History and Econ, double major.
But she told me they're business students because she's in my VisCom class, Stephanie Hill.
Is Mikhail Pasek a business
student? Mikhail Pasek, yeah, he is.
Business ethics? Isn't that an oxymoron?
Ask Father Kavanaugh.
I was going to say, get Father Kavanaugh down here for that.
In the U.S., actually.
There you go. But yes, the Canadian connection won our ethics. Once again, proving that our neighbors to the north know how to do it right.
They took our jobs.
They took our prize.
I just saw that episode. Every time they would say that, I would crack me up.
Yeah, I'd like the explanation. Kyle's trying to go through this long explanation. No one under. Then he just said, they've taken our jobs. And everyone, yeah, they understood that. So at any rate, how do you get questions to us? Well, you can send them to us via email. In fact, I just pulled this off of our website. Or now that you're used to those new postal rates, you can get a first-class stamp and slap it on a letter and mail it to University of Detroit Mercy, Ask the Professor, 4001 West McNichols, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. And we're going to start with a set of questions today from David Chow, who has sent us questions before and writes, Dear Professors, this is actually my third attempt to stump your panel. My first series of questions, which took a fair amount of courage and research to write, has not been read yet over the air, but I achieved some Ask the Professor immortality when my second set of questions regarding Christmas trees was read on your 2005 Christmas show. Where I was respectfully called by my given name of David, which I only hear mentioned by my parents and officers of the law. Whoa, sorry about that, Dave. Okay, we'll make sure we refer to you as Dave Chow in the future.
Tannenbaum to you.
That's right. Since I was thoroughly and expectedly defeated, I have since decided to send in 20 more questions so I can receive my goodies. Seeing as
presumptious lad.
Well, no. You know, that one thing, when we get things on email that I have to email back and say, okay, I want to send you your prize, would you send me a mailing address? I just can't send this ethic bowl shirt out
San
to cyberspace.
Quentin, no.
Well, you know, number 1547891, care of Post Office Box Jackson, Michigan. Okay. Seeing the UDM professor's knowledge is far and vast.
Well, sorry. We fooled him.
Okay.
Which one do you want to be, far or vast?
So will be the categories of my questions. A score of 70% will be considered passing, which would be
14.
14 out of 20.
That's generous.
That is generous.
You should have gone with a house.
Well, but he did say passing. He didn't say like passing with.
I guess we can get it
with honors. Yeah, he just like this is like
summa cum laude or something.
Yeah, that's
right. You're gonna curve the curve, Professor.
Oh, please, yeah. I know someone handed in their exam today and said, do you give extra credit?
I hate that question.
Well, no, as he was handing in the exam, I said, would mm-hmm. you let me grade it first, yeah. Okay? Like, no, I don't. Okay.
No, you don't get away to do well in the course just in case you don't do well in the course,
that's
which
exactly
is really what extra
right.
credit is about. I'm
Thank
opposed
you.
To it in principle.
Yeah,
sorry,
not since high school now. Teaching. No extra credit. Who are the only two celebrities to have lifetime contracts with NBC?
Milton Berle.
No. Big surprise.
Can I ask the question if they're you judge them to be recent celebrities?
Well, one that passed away had a terribly long life. And then the other...
Jack Benny.
No.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope is one of them. Now the other...
Punky Brewster.
No, I'm sorry.
Punky Brewster.
It's not Johnny Carson.
No, I think he's more known for his voice than actual appearance. With NBC.
Don Pardo.
That's Don Pardo.
Are you serious?
Dan, I'm serious.
That's
a man. What made you think of Don Pardo?
I don't know. You just said voice.
Well, and it is. I think he's been, Well, and he also did a game show, didn't Don Pardo?
Yes, he was part of a game show.
Yeah.
He never, 70s. It's hard to know because you don't have a face.
But you couldn't pick him out of a lineup, though, Don.
No, it doesn't mean unless you heard his voice. I'm just thinking about a friend of mine that we were watching her sister's child when she first began to speak, and her mother, the mother of the child we were watching, was addicted to game shows and the Game Show Network bit. And this little girl just suddenly let loose with Gene Rayburn. This little tiny
That's awesome.
Child. Yeah, so I can't wait to humiliate her like on prom night.
Well, Dylan used to do that when he was a little boy watching NBA basketball. Oh. He would see Marv Albert and go, yes! He's like 2 years old, and he's going, yes! Like Marv Albert, and I was just kind of like...
People are so
smart. He outgrew it, though, thankfully.
Except Jerry still does.
Well, and, you know, he may not want to idolize Marv Albert anymore.
No.
So.
Ooh.
Not
well, you know...
There's room for all kinds of dressers, you know?
I was going to say, you know, there we go.
Biting thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's a little much. What was the last Canadian province to switch over to driving on the right side of the road, and in what year?
Quebec.
No.
No, wow.
Nah, it's probably, probably Newfoundland.
It is the Newfies.
It's some
place where nobody drives, right? So it doesn't
matter. Oh, they were the last province to join into Confederation as well. That was a really
it's
hard
Newfie,
thing
but
for
I'm,
Newfoundland.
I'm struggling with the date.
I want to say 80s for some reason.
Because you love the 80s.
Well, I don't know.
No, it's a little late, actually.
Oh, okay.
1957.
Actually, still a little late.
Huh.
Post-World War II.
It is very post-World War II. It's 47.
Okay.
Yeah, but it took Newfoundland a long time to decide whether or not to get into this Confederated gig or not, but I think it worked out for them in that way. What is the longest one-syllable word in the English language?
Oh, strength.
No.
Stressed.
No. It is a noise,
the longest
however.
One-syllable word?
A noise?
A noise, like...
Yes.
Yeah, that's long. And one syllable. And one breath. Very
Wilma.
Nice. Yeah, Wilma. You know, the only clue I can think of is this, is it's a nickname they actually give out in the Maritimes to this incredibly potent rum. I mean, really, really potent rum. And they say that, of course, this is what it'll make you do if you drink a lot of it. Well, yeah.
Shriek.
Not, but you're getting close.
I'm
scream?
This one.
No. And it's a noise.
It's a noise, or it certainly makes a noise.
Screeched?
That's it, screeched.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, whisper was going to be my next question.
Yeah, they call it screech.
Oh, please don't ask Saved by the Bell questions now.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1968.
I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right is History Professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Fred. Normally on my left is Russell McLaughlin, but he's in Spain looking after some stock that the University of Detroit owns. And this leaves our guest middleman, Lawrence Kanjar, who is dean of the College of Engineering.
All along.
No, what you're doing is replacing three people. We have some amplification here. First of all, from Hanaban, Louisiana, Mrs. Elizabeth R. Beale. I heard a program last Saturday morning on WWL Radio. The question asked was, who named the flag Old Glory? Well, I know that William Driver called the flag Old Glory. William Driver was the master of the brig Charles Daggett. He raised the flag on his ship August the 10th, 1831, saying, I name thee Old Glory. Have you heard that story before, friend?
No, I haven't.
Well, it must be true. If
the interesting question now is, how does everybody else find out? How does something like this come into general usage?
All the members of his crew blabbed as soon as they get ashore, you know.
Yeah, did you hear what the old man did? What a dumb thing.
Good PR man on the ship.
Yeah.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from 2006, featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors will return after the holidays with more brand new shows. And we invite you to send in your questions today for broadcast in the new year. But now, let's return to this classic Ask the Professor episode from March 2006.
Some Aretha backing us up, the sound of Motown coming at you on a Friday afternoon from Detroit. Sure.
I had heard a blurb on the news that Stones were criticizing the network for leaping out some of the words to the song.
They lowered his mic.
Yeah, that was it.
I can't get no girly action.
Yeah.
And there are a few other.
Yeah, a few other
songs.
Oh. No, is that why he sounded like he was drunk?
No, that's because he was drunk.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I also like to see Keith Richards alive.
Thank you.
Hope for
I know.
Me. Whenever I see him, I know that I'm going to be okay.
I thought he OD'd a few times.
He probably
did. Mom, he did. But
he survived.
Back.
Didn't they at one point have to give him an entire body blood transfusion?
I think they did. Yeah. I think he did, yeah.
Who got his blood? That's what I'm wondering.
Johnny Depp. That's how he got that for Pirates of the Caribbean.
But all of them. I mean, it's not just Richards. I mean, Ron Wood and Charlie Watts don't look a whole lot better.
Yeah, Ron Wood was like,
they just sat there at the press conference frowning the whole time. They didn't answer any questions. They sat down, got up, and left.
I gotta go potty.
Yeah, we're back with questions from Dave Chow.
Mick, change us.
Really, poor Mick. How did James Dean avoid the military draft?
I'm guessing
actor,
not
50s
college,
icon.
But
no, it wasn't university.
I was making Rebel Without a Cause, or
no,
he pled insanity. You're tearing me apart.
He had some sort of physical defect.
No, I
think I'm going to take a wild guess here because a friend of mine did this, and it was very difficult to pull off in Vietnam. He told them that he was homosexual.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
And,
that he registered as a homosexual and therefore was rejected by the draft board.
And this got three kids later. And once he got through, once the war was over, he started a family and stuff. And he told me it was incredible. The follow up was incredible.
Oh, I bet.
What?
Yeah,
sure.
You know, but he said he just thought it was one death trip, and he was not going to go fight. And he said that was the best thing. He was totally physically fit and everything else, and that was the only thing he could do. Unless he said he was a Quaker, which he wasn't. So,
Dean wasn't.
That works too. Quaker.
Homosexual, wasn't
I thought. It worked for Gary Cooper in the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say. There you go. Yeah, that certainly worked. But,
It's weird.
Good for D.
That's true. During the Boston Tea Party, how many chests of tea were dumped into Boston Harbor?
300 and some odd.
It's 300 and some odd?
It sounded like one of those baiting questions where they're baiting you to guess when it's really not.
320, 318, 320, something like that.
A little more than that.
350.
A little less than that, than 350 there.
337.
No, 342.
Okay.
Huh. 342. That's a lot of tea.
That is, especially when you consider how tea was packed in those days.
Grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, loose and, so they really jam-packed those
totally
bad ones.
Weird,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, it smelled like a gigantic teapot down there.
No, although it's probably cleaner than Boston Harbor today.
Exactly right.
There you go. According to Toy Mania magazine, I'd love to see this magazine, Toy Mania.
I'm sure Drew's got some issues.
I was going to say, probably. Who was the first member of the clergy to have an action figure made of them?
The Pope.
No, not I kind of thought.
No. The guy from The Exorcist.
Oh, no, not Father Damien Karras.
Okay. That would have to be from a movie or something.
I tortured myself.
I figured it'd be a movie thing here, you know?
Well, it's actually a television show.
The Flying Nun.
No, this is a male member.
From MASH? Father O'Kahey?
That's it, it's Father O'Kahey.
He
was thinking
pretty
Sister
cool.
Betrayal.
Oh, with the hornet thing, She was, that was Sally Field,
Do you know, speaking of The Exorcist, because this made me think of this, did you know that William Peter Blatty co-wrote the script with...
Jason Miller.
No.
Dario Puzo.
He co-wrote the script with Blake Edwards for A Shot in the Dark.
You're
Drew and I just
me.
Bought the DVD
you,
and I was
no
reading
way.
The back of the film.
No
I'm like,
way.
You will never believe who co-wrote this. Blake Edwards, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
But William Peter Blatty, I'm like...
Amazing. I like that.
And it's a funny movie.
It is. Which NFL team was the first to have its logo imprinted on their helmets?
The Bears.
Dolphins.
The Steelers did it pretty early.
Dallas.
Dallas. Not that
no.
Dallas?
This is very surprising
Why? Wouldn't it
to
be
me.
The Bears?
Indianapolis? Colts?
No Colties, because they were, of course...
The Browns?
Green Bay?
No, the Browns don't have a logo. They're the only team without a logo.
Yeah, they don't have... They're right.
Oh, duh.
That's okay. It's better than Kenny saying, who's playing the ponies and what other animal?
Is it an old school team? Like an actual starter team? Original NFL?
No, not really. Although, out in California, I can give you that clue.
The Raiders?
Not the Raiders.
Well, it's the Niners.
The Rams?
The Rams. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
Weird. Huh.
I know. I wish I knew what year that
Drew's
was.
Drew's favorite team.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he was a big Rams fan, but L.A.
Wow.
I just remember those old Bengals helmets that said Bengals on
Yeah, right. Which was like, okay, whatever.
It's cheaper than drawing something on.
I guess, but because the Rams have those horn things, right?
Yeah.
The little curled up Rams horny things. What was the first full-length feature film to have a sequel?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Star Wars.
Godfather.
No, this is an old film. Well, this was in black and white.
Oh, my word.
This doesn't count movie serials, I'm assuming.
Mm-mm.
Is the
said full-length feature, right?
This is full-length feature film.
Can we get a year?
See. It would be in the 20s.
Wow. 20s?
That's rough.
Metropolis.
No.
Was it a Valentino film?
Well, no. There was recently a remake made of it. A Peter Jackson remade it.
King Kong.
Yes, yes, it was.
Oh,
King
Son
Kong.
Of Kong.
No, but that was that 20s. Wasn't King Kong, or
I
was
that was 33.
Late 33,
yeah,
is it?
33.
Okay.
Early 30s.
Okay, that's
early.
Not
so
early.
What was the sequel called? King Kong 2?
Well, Son of Kong.
No, Son of Kong.
It was.
King Konger.
Yeah.
Kong Goes West.
Dave notes here, not the recent Peter Jackson epic, nor the Lang / Jeff Bridges debacle of D19. Yeah, that was bad.
I want to see the Peter Jackson one because Adrian Brody is cute.
Well, he's actually cute in the movie.
Oh, he's
anyway,
not?
Someone's face gets eaten off. Let's just see it. Leave it.
Oh, good. Cool. Ah, but what? I like gory stuff.
Okay, so you're going to love it then.
Well, Matt knows what you do on Christmas Day, eh? Or Christmas Eve.
Die Hard.
Let's die hard. Okay. Of course.
What mammal has the most blood types?
Go with your, they're trying to trick us.
Human beings.
No, humans.
That was my first guess.
Not Homo sapiens.
Not cows.
Not cows. No. Although we've got some questions on cows that were sent to us.
Oh, I'll guess it's some sort of monkey just because they studied the rhesus monkey.
No, again, I would have thought gone with monkey or chimp or something that way. Many people, I know in Irish mythology, they consider the most clever of all animals. They believe that this animal is so smart it can see the wind.
Fox?
A snake?
A narwhal?
A narwhal.
Snake's not a mammal.
Okay. It's the pig. The pig has 16 blood types.
That is crazy.
Wilbur.
I wonder what blood type it was that Carrie used at the prom. That's what I'm wondering.
Your choice. One of 16.
There's one of 16. But that's odd about pigs. But they do. The Irish believe pigs to be almost mythical with their intelligence.
Mm. They are pretty smart.
They're clever. They're more clever than a chicken.
Tastes good.
I know. Give me some pig meat. Lay it on. Okay.
Country ham.
Which character appeared the most in the Little Rascals films?
Spanky?
No, this is a surprise again.
The dog?
Yes, it
Petey
is.
The
it's
dog.
Petey the Pup. It was Petey. He was in a lot of scenes. That's true. Because I know my younger sister used to do the Kippy Kippy Key, the Darlet thing, that she did the Kippy Kai. All the, yeah.
I don't recall that.
Were you a big fan? Who watched The Rascals here?
Oh,
we're totally
little,
addicted.
Sure.
Once in a while.
Love The Rascals.
It was a cheap transition thing that you could shoot the dog and all
that.
You know,
yeah, that I was going to say, I bet that was a great
thing
to shoot
the dog. That way you can maintain continuity and so forth. And it's kind of like in Love Story, where they are out there in the snow goofing around. They're with their own clothes. And that was just shot to serve as a continuity thing.
Okay.
And that's where she could have got all the money if she would have just licensed the hat, and she wouldn't do it.
I know. What a dumb egg.
Dumb.
Right.
Never having to say you're sorry.
Where does one find the Kallax Basin? Kallax Basin.
On the moon?
No.
No, is that a
deep
body part?
Undersea.
It's not. No, it has nothing to do with the body except
the ocean.
Thought to be healthy to use this product.
What is it like?
Healthy, that leaves me out.
It's from the word root of calculus, meaning rock. Does that help?
Ooh. Well, this certainly hopefully would not taste like a rock. One can only hope.
Something you eat?
Well, you
consume?
Wouldn't eat it. I suppose it'd be a little bitter, perhaps.
Do you rub it on your...
It is part of something that grows on trees.
Oh, okay.
It's like a lotion?
No. It's an apple. It's the end of an apple.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh.
I know. That's a new one.
I think we lost
some
that one.
What apples did to Eve.
So true. Ah. On the TV show Green Acres, what did Ebb name his pet turtle?
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember Ebb?
Yeah, I remember
Ebb. I loved Ebb. Okay, when Jerry and I were the only people to watch Green Acres,
I watched it. I could never figure out why he's a lawyer, he's got all this money, and he still can't get that phone off the pole into the house. I mean, it's just a wire.
Oh, Oliver.
Why would you name a turtle? That's the better question.
Eloise.
Oh, of course.
Ebb was an interesting character. He had a lot of adventures. That show was very surreal. Well,
the whole thing with CBS with Petticoat Junction and all those programs, they all melded into one messed up thing. But people watched them.
Yeah, the characters all kind of,
people watched them. And,
but I have to admit, it wasn't Arnold Ziffel, too.
That was just he was way ahead of Babe.
The brother and sister team, they were hysterical. But most of all, Lisa Douglas, moving her penthouse furniture into that farmhouse, it was just...
Well, it's the place to be.
That's right. How
farm
silly.
Living's the life for me. Yeah.
And I mean, Mr. Haney was his little spiels were so great.
Mr. Haney, yeah. Who was the only U.S. president to actually lead his troops into battle while in office?
Well,
now,
Washington.
Got to be early.
Leading his troops into battle.
He was the only U.S. president to actually lead his troops into battle while in office, and this I'm a little surprised about.
Andrew Jackson?
It wasn't Teddy, was it?
No. He had resigned as assistant secretary of the Navy before he went down to fight in the Spanish American War.
The Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812?
No, because he was the president, of course, at that time.
Okay.
You're thinking on him when you need him.
Yeah, a very early
Of course.
President. It can't be Washington. He wasn't
Yes, it was.
I did say Washington at the beginning. I'm sorry. It seemed like the only choice, really. But
it was during the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought of Washington, but then I thought, wait a second, he didn't become president until after the Revolution.
We
got to
get that wild turkey for us, guys.
I was going to say, whoa, yeah.
It was tax rebellions.
Well, it was a tax rebellion. You know, think about those people, especially mm-hmm. Scotch-Irish people. I mean, whiskey, Ishki Baha, the water of life, was like medicinal and everything. They left Scotland not wanting this type of oppression or taxation. So
I think once they hit those were nasty.
Yeah, they were pretty violent. What is the more common name for a membrane phone? M-E-M-B-R-A-P-H-O-N-E.
Membrane phone.
Uh-huh.
Stethoscope?
No, this would be a musical kind of instrument.
Metronome?
No, membrane not the...
phone.
No? Membrane phone.
I think this is something...
A tambourine?
No.
I'm thinking membrane.
Yo,
theremin. No?
No. This is really, I never knew it had another name. I guess that's the thing that is very surprising.
Not a harmonica.
How about the triangle?
It is something, an instrument that you blow into, that's yeah. true. The triangle.
Trumpet?
A kazoo.
It is. It's a kazoo.
A kazoo. Oh,
okay. All right.
Okay. Jeez. Matt,
membrane
excellent.
Phone. Children, get out your membrane phones. It's time for the chorus.
These are very good questions.
Yes,
he's dug up some great facts.
Yes, it's like some of those outdated words, like velocipede, for example. You know, bicycle.
Phlogiston.
That's it.
That I used the other day.
There you go.
Oh, I don't know that one. What's that one?
That was what they thought the universe was made of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pre-matter,
magical ether stuff.
It was kind of a gaseous state. They thought, wasn't that it? Mm-hmm. God, I remember that. I can't believe it.
So I told them, evolution as a theory is not on a par with that.
No.
Just a theory.
Okay.
No.
No?
According to a study done at Yosemite National Park, which car brand is broken into the most by the park's bear population? So the bears choose this car. No, this is totally surprising, unless these bears are all members of the UAW.
Ford Explorers.
Well, obviously, then it's
a foreign car.
It is a foreign car.
Lexus.
Civic? Honda Civic?
Yeah, Honda Civic.
See, but that data belies the grand number of Honda Civics that exist in the country, and maybe a lot of those people are going to visit.
Did the studiers fail to say that they put meat?
Yeah, that they left open. Yeah,
put a couple slabs of ribs in the backseat.
A little piece of data we left out.
And lock up that Explorer.
Or they kidnapped the baby bears and stuck them.
It's a German import that comes with lots of sausages. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of bizarre that they would pick the Honda.
Maybe they're easy to break into.
They look like
picnic baskets. Maybe there's something about the car that makes them, there's some latch or something.
At first, that's what I was thinking. A car with mostly glass.
It looks like a
So that would have to be a gremlin.
You'd be surprised, though. Like, I've seen raccoons, I mean, from a distance, open my cooler. Take out, like, a couple apples and close it and lock it.
No way.
I'm not making this up.
They're clever.
Sometimes they have greater dexterity than... Oh, yes, they are.
Very of course, they wouldn't want it to get stale, Jerry. I'm free. Aw,
bless the little raccoonies. That's helped.
St. Catharines, Ontario is camping there.
Okay. We'll be back with these questions from Dave Child from Berkeley, Michigan, in fact.
We're toast.
So let me thank our panel, Professor Boats.
This Detroit wildlife.
Yes, indeed. Professor Maggio.
Thanks, Kathy.
Professor Gertzinger.
It's a wild life.
Professor Oljar.
Wild thing.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Communication Studies Radio Studios in the Briggs Building on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the professor is produced, witnessed, technically directed, and thoroughly, beautifully handled by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Red Wings!
And we're back next week with another classic episode of Ask the Professor from 2006.